1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a chapter all about Paul talking to some of the early church in a place called Corinth. And they were going wrong in quite a few areas, and clearly in this one area of the resurrection, they were going a bit wrong as well. And he has some words to say to them about that.
1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 11. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand.
By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep.
Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed.
Sometimes we need reminders, and other times we don't need them. You get reminders that are necessary, and you get reminders that are unnecessary. Don't you? Some reminders are more valuable than others. Let me give you two examples of reminders I've been given recently. First one, a reminder from Sarah to remember to take my lunch with me when I went to work. Often Sarah will make something, there'll be leftovers, or there'll be something ready, and it's in the fridge, and I get everything else to go to the office, to get ready to go to the office, and as I'm going to the door, there'll be a post-it note stuck on the door saying, lunch in the fridge. And it's a reminder to me, okay, there's some lunch, I need to get it. Now, that's really valuable if I've forgotten my lunch. But if I've already got lunch in my bag, I've remembered it already, I've put it in the bag, I'm on my way out the door, and there's a little post-it note that says lunch in the fridge, I don't need that. It's unnecessary at that point, isn't it? I've already done what I need to do, I don't need another reminder. That's one type of reminder I had recently. There's another reminder I had recently. A couple of weeks ago, we went across to Europe. We went to Belgium. And we drove and took the car on the ferry. So I had to drive over in Europe. And it's the first time I'd done that. And does anyone know what's different about driving in Europe to driving here? You drive on the other side of the road. Exactly. Now, as soon as I came out of the ferry and I came down the little ramp, there was a little sign on the side that said, drive on the right, in English. Is that a helpful reminder? Or is that an unhelpful reminder? That's a necessary reminder, isn't it? That's really necessary. Because that's something I was doing at the time, and also the consequences of that. If I forget that, if I ignore that, dangerous. The next morning, I had the same reminder in a different kind of way. I got up, we were going to go to the little bakery to get some bread, so I came down into the car, reversed out of the drive, and as I was about to go, my father-in-law, who sat in the back, said, drive on the right, remember. And it's a helpful reminder. Two different kinds of reminders. The question is it necessary or unnecessary? Some reminders we get are unnecessary. Some reminders we get are really, really important. They're really necessary. Sometimes we get a reminder, we'll think, oh yeah, thanks, I really needed to hear that. Other times we'll hear a reminder and we'll think, well, I've already done it, I already know that. What we're going to have this morning is we're going to have an Easter reminder. an Easter reminder of the facts of Easter, the facts of the gospel. But I wonder, when you hear this reminder, I wonder whether you'll think, thanks, I really needed to hear that. Or whether you'll think, I already knew that. I've already done what I need to do. This is the Easter reminder. I know that text is quite small, but we're going to see it as we come to this bit in 1 Corinthians. It's a very simple reminder. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised 3 days later, and he was seen by many witnesses. That's the reminder. Now, as you look at that, what do you think? Do you think necessary or unnecessary? What's your instinct? And I think the Sunday school answer is necessary because it's really important. But why? Why? Or if you think unnecessary, why? Why? It comes straight from this passage in 1 Corinthians, doesn't it? Have a look at verse 1. And look what Paul says in verse 1. Guys, if you don't have Bibles, can we get some Bibles forward to the front row? Because you're going to need them. You're going to need them. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. There's another one here. Here you go. There you go. Oh, well done. You've got some now. Well done. If you need to find the page number, it's page 1155. You're going to need it. So get it open. 1 Corinthians 15. It's on page 1155. And have a look at verse 1. Paul is the one who's writing here. And in verse 1, he says this. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. These people have already heard this. They've already believed in it. They've already received it. But Paul wants to remind them again. And have a look at verse 2. It says, by this gospel, they're already saved. So they've already heard it. They already know it. But Paul wants to remind them again. Have a look at verse 3. What he reminds them of is very, very simple. It's stuff that we probably have heard lots of times. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And so that's our Easter reminder. So we're just going to look at each of them as they come. First one, Jesus died for our sins. That's the first part. And notice what Paul says about that. He says it's according to the scriptures. Do you see that? Why do you think he says according to the scriptures? Why didn't he need to say that as well? Any idea? What do you think, Joel?
Because the scriptures always never lie.
That's true. The scriptures never lie. But he says it for that, and he says about rising again. He says again, according to the scriptures. I think he's saying that because he's saying this was part of the plan. What's the word for when somebody says something's going to happen in the future? And they say it in, you know, back here, and then it starts with a P. Not prediction. It sounds a little bit like pro something.
Prophecy.
It was on the tip of my tongue. Well done. Prophecy. Now, I wonder, have you ever just looked at the Bible and looked at the prophecies about Jesus? There's a lot of them. Have you ever just looked at them and thought, I'm going to look at the prophecies about Jesus, and I'm going to look, how much time passed between the prophecy and it coming true? It's a brilliant thing to do. Maybe this Easter you could just do that. Just look at the prophecies and look how much space there was between somebody saying this is going to happen and then it actually happening. But when Paul here talks about according to the scriptures, he's reminding us the scriptures always said this was going to happen. We see this tiny little window when we come to Easter and we just see Jesus' death and resurrection. That's over about 3 or 4 days. But actually this is part of something way bigger. And Paul is reminding us of that when he says according to the scriptures. But I want you to have a look here. The first thing we see is Jesus died. But why? Why did Jesus die? What does it say? What does it say up on the screen? What does it say in the verse? Why did Jesus die? For our sins. That's right, for our sins. And I think it's easy when we think about sins to think about the sins of the world or the sins of the person in our class who's always really naughty and never sits still and is always really rude to the teacher and rude to everybody else. It's easy for us to think about sins of the world when we see people on the telly that we think, that's not the way to live a life. What about our sins? Let's have a little picture of it. Imagine this. Imagine there's a really bad sickness in London. It's a really bad sickness and people are dying from it. And the way it starts is with coughing. People start with a bad cough, particularly cough, and then it gets worse and worse, and then their minds start to go, and they get really feverish, and they lose all the strength in their body, and eventually they die. And everybody is terrified of this sickness. And anytime you're out and about on the street, you're at school, or you're on the underground, or something like that, and you hear someone coughing, and you try and get as far away from that person as you possibly can, everybody is terrified of that sickness. But it's really, really infectious, and it's spreading from person to person to person to person to person to person, and people are dying everywhere. And you need to get away. And so what do? We think, okay, all the healthy people, we're going to go and we're going to hide away somewhere so we can't catch this sickness. And so imagine we all come into this building, all us healthy people. We all cram in. We get our sleeping bags. We get our rations for however many months we think we're going to need. We have our sleeping mats. We all pile into this room, and we're all sat in this room, maybe a little bit like this. The sick people are outside. Healthy people are in here. We're safe. And then right in the middle of the room. And then you realize your throat feels very tickly. And suddenly your blood runs cold because you realize the problem isn't just out there. It's in here. And the problem isn't just out here, it's in here. Jesus died for our sins. Your sins. My sins. The problem is not just out there. Secondly, Jesus was buried. Simple thing, we know it. We've seen it many times. It says here Jesus was buried. He really died. There was no doubt about it. The soldiers came to check, didn't they? They came to ready to break his legs, and they didn't need to because he was already dead. Breaking the legs would be the thing that would finish somebody off if they were still sort of struggling for life when they were on the cross. They came ready to finish Jesus off, and they didn't know. Those Roman soldiers knew when somebody was dead or not. Their whole job was about killing people. They put the spear into his side to make sure he was dead. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. But of course, the story doesn't end there. 3 days later, Jesus was raised again. Death was defeated. He really died, and he really came to life again. Look, again, he says, according to the scriptures. The same thing in verse 4. This was always God's plan. Jesus had always talked like this, like he was going to die, he was going to suffer, but then he's going to come back again. And here it happens. You know, we love a comeback story. We love a comeback story. You know, the hero's struggling, and the hero's losing, and he's all beaten up, and he's going to struggle, and he looks like he's lost. So many films, so many stories have the hero, looks like they've lost, and then one eye opens. And then they come back, and it's a dramatic comeback story, and the hero wins right when he thought he wasn't going to win. The gospel is not a comeback story. Jesus always knew what was going to happen. He walked to his death, and he suffered knowing that was going to happen. He definitely really suffered. We saw that on Friday, didn't we? He felt that pain, but this didn't happen to him. He knew what was happening. According to the scriptures, all of this happened. Jesus was raised 3 days later. Paul reminds us of that. And then lastly, he was seen by many witnesses. Have a look at verse 4. Have a look at verse 5, actually. Have a look at verse 5. Who did Jesus appear to first in verse 5? Can you see? Peter, yes. He appeared to Peter. And then who? The 12. And you know what? What we're going to see over these next few verses is we're going to see Paul repeating that same word, appeared. And when he appeared to Peter and the 12, the kind of the summary thing of what they realized in that moment was this: Jesus is alive. That changes everything. That's what Peter realized when he saw Jesus alive again. That's what the 12 realized when he saw Jesus alive again. That's kind of a summary of what they realized. But keep looking in those verses. Have a look at verse 6. Look, the same word comes up in verse 6, appeared. Who does it say Jesus appeared to in verse 6? More than 500 people, more than 500 brothers, but there's probably more people there at the same time. 500 or more have that same realization. Jesus is alive. This changes everything. And then verse 7, who does Jesus appear to in verse 7? James, exactly. James, another person, another apostle who would have been one of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. And then verse 8, who does he appear to? The last one he appears to? Paul. Thank you, Joel. He appears to Paul. And it's the same word, appeared, 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 appeared. And every time Jesus appears to someone, this is what people realize. This is what they realize. Jesus is alive. This changes everything. Everything about how I see life, how I see death, how I see what I do when I get up in the morning, when I go to sleep at night, it changes everything. That's what these people realized when they saw that Jesus was alive again. It's a long list of people here. And what Paul is doing here is he's not trying to list absolutely everybody. He's pointing to the leaders in the early church, which might, you know, if you're wondering why they doesn't he mention so-and-so or so-and-so. He's pointing to the leaders of the early church here, and he's saying, look, this is the foundation of the church. The foundation of the church, you know, where we are now, is people that saw Jesus was alive again and said, Jesus is alive. This changes everything. And he repeats that word, appeared, again and again and again, because he really wants to remind us of the fact that Jesus was seen by many, many witnesses. Now think about this. I mean, we read about these things at Easter a lot, but imagine if this was just made up, and these people knew it was made up. How long would they have been able to keep that story up for? And how long would they have kept that story up when they were being tortured, when they were being told to stop sending that message to people, when they were told, no, you're wrong? But these people, they kept going, they suffered, they died. Almost all of them died because they said, Jesus is alive and this changes everything. And we are here now based on that foundation then. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And so this is our Easter reminder. It's quite a simple thing, isn't it, really? It's quite familiar. Jesus died for our sins, was buried, was raised 3 days later, and was seen by many witnesses. Well, now we've had a quick look at it. Do you think it's necessary or unnecessary, this reminder? Maybe you think it's unnecessary. Why? Just think about it. Why do you think it's unnecessary? Be honest with yourself. Maybe you think it's necessary. Why do you think that? Could you tell me? Or is it just because you've been told by other people that it's necessary and that's all you've got? Have a look at the beginning of chapter 15 again, and have a look at what Paul says. He says, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you've received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Some reminders, if they're about things you do once, are unnecessary. A reminder comes like the sticker on the door saying, don't forget your lunch. I've already got my lunch. That reminder is unnecessary. Some reminders, they come and they're about something you only do once. But some reminders come and they're about something you continue to do. You need to keep doing. And if you ignore those reminders, that really matters. Because we can sometimes think, okay, we've heard the story of Jesus once. Maybe we feel like, yeah, I've believed it. I've kind of accepted it. Job done. I don't need to keep hearing it every year. I don't need to keep hearing it every time I come to church. I know. But actually, this Easter reminder we've had today, it's not an unnecessary one that we don't need to listen to, that we can ignore. It's a really valuable one, because have a look at verse 2. It's something you must continue to know, continue to hold to. See verse 2? He says, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. It's a little bit like this. Imagine this. We're all people in a in a raging river, being pushed along by the current, being splashed and tossed all over the place, and we're all just carrying on down this river, and we can't swim against it. It's too strong for us. And we're being swept along by this river, and what we don't realize, most of us, is that at the end there's a huge waterfall where the water plunges off the cliff and plummets down hundreds of feet onto these jagged rocks. And we're being swept along, swept along, swept along. But the Christian is like somebody that realizes the danger they're in, realizes there's a waterfall coming. Now imagine this, there's two people. They're in the water, they're being swept along by the river, they're being spun around, they can't really see where they're going. But as they go, they notice there's a big rock in the middle of the river. It's got a couple of bushes kind of growing out of it. Bang smack in the middle of the river. And as they get closer, they think, we're going to grab onto the rock. So as they get there, they reach out and they manage to grab onto a branch, and one comes one side, the other comes the other side of the rock, and they're both clinging on. They're holding on. The water's still running, but they're clinging to that rock. And they're safe as long as they cling to that rock. Safe. They've reached out. They've grabbed hold. Now imagine one of them. He's there, he's clinging on, and the river still feels really strong. And the water's splashing in his face, and he sees other people who are just drifting down. Some of them don't really realize what the danger is. One of them's got his snorkel and mask on. He's having a great time. He thinks that's all there is. This person starts to look at all these kind of things, and he starts to relax. And next thing you know, he's going down the stream, but he thinks, I'm fine. Because I remember that one time I held on to the rock. And he doesn't realize the danger he's in. He let go. But because he held on once upon a time, he thinks he's fine. The other person on the other side of the rock, he was clinging to that rock, and the water was just as strong for him. It was buffeting him, and the water was splashing in his face. And every time his hands started to get weak, a little voice would come into his head, cling on. Don't let go. And every time that voice spoke, he'd cling on again. It's tiring. His hands would start to weaken, and he'd sort of slip down the branch, and then that voice, cling on. Don't let go. And then his fingers would tighten, and he'd pull himself back on again. He knew the only way he could survive was by clinging to that rock. He knew the danger he was in. He knew how much he needed that rock. If we believe in Jesus once and we don't hold on, we've believed in vain. There's a real warning here. And that story about the rock and the river is not, I don't intend it to be a diagnosis. I intend it to be a warning. I don't want you to think I was on the rock once, I'm drifting away and it's too late. It's a warning. Come back to that rock, cling to it. If we believe in Jesus once and we think, job done, we haven't really believed in him. We've brushed the rock as we've gone by. And maybe you're here today and maybe you're aware that you don't believe. Maybe you know, I've heard it so many times, it just bounces right off me. Maybe you're here today and you're not really sure. You think, it's sort of familiar, I don't really know how I'm dealing with it. Well, can I invite you just to keep on exploring it? Keep coming back to it. The stakes are so high. And we've got these books. We've got a few copies of them out in the foyer. Your Verdict on the Empty Tomb. I invite you just to take one of these away and just have a look at it. I can't promise it's going to answer all your questions, but it will help you think about it more. I please urge you to think about it more. Come and talk to me about it. I'd love to chat to you. But maybe you're here today and you'd say you do believe. I think there's a test here. There's a warning here, isn't there? When you see that Easter reminder, I think we've lost our screen, haven't we? I think the computer says it's going to be updating. But when you see that, that's not a great time, isn't it? Tell you what, that's a reminder we don't need, isn't it? Smooth, I could have planned that. I didn't. When we see that reminder, Jesus died for our sins, was buried, was raised 3 days later, was seen by many witnesses. When you see that, what's your instinct? Necessary or unnecessary? Is that valuable or is that just normal and commonplace? The temptation can be that we think we believed in Jesus once and then we can just do what we want. But the message here from these verses is we must hold firmly to the word that we received. Cling to it. So if you see that Easter reminder as a really valuable thing, and you know the danger is real, and you know that salvation has been achieved, has been accomplished by Jesus, then just go back to those truths, those simple but amazing truths once more, and just dwell on what they mean for you. Remember the message, the summary that I gave of what the apostles said. Jesus is alive. This changes everything. If Jesus is alive, what does it change for you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this Easter reminder, and we trust in your Spirit being at work in each of our hearts to teach us what you need us to learn from it. We pray that this reminder would be an encouragement to those of us that really need that encouragement to keep going, to keep holding on to the rock of Jesus. And for those who need the warning, Father, we pray that your Spirit would be at work in those hearts to turn them to Jesus so they might trust in him completely for everything. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fact that you died and you rose again and you have defeated death. And we thank you for the fact that that does indeed change everything. Amen.